I just moved to Middletown. So if you hear me say that Jesus opened the Red Sea, you know why? It's because I've been up until 3 a.m. in the morning. And when you are up like that, you can say that Jesus opened the Red Sea when you know it was Moses who did that. So extend grace to your pastor if I just confuse people today. So, are you ready for this Sunday? So this is Commitment Sunday. Can you put these hands together and just say thank you, God? He's awesome. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. So again, let's please extend if you are able, and let's read the prayer together, and then we're going to the reading of the word as a community. If you are new or you are online, this is a prayer that we do as a church, just inviting the Holy Spirit to come and take over and lead us. And then we read the word of God together so that we come before the Lord as one. And this is a practice of the ancient church, the first church. We're now walking back and going back to those seasons and those times. Let's pray together, 1, 2, 3. Holy Spirit, you are here. To hear the word of God. Should our pastor preach words of wisdom based on his own opinion, we ask that you forgive him. Guard our hearts and minds and protect us from false teachings. But you, our pastor, blame the gospel of the King by the Holy Spirit of power, strengthen our faith so that we may listen, but also live out your teachings. Come, Holy Spirit, open the eyes of our hearts. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now let's read the word of God together. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, you love, Isaac, and go to the region. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. And then I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham had loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants, his son Isaac. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear. You have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up and there, the thicket, he saw a ram caught by his horns. He went over to the ram and sacrificed the burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. This day, said, mountain of the Lord. How many of you believe that God will provide? Hallelujah. Please be seated. As you read the scripture today, my hope is that you are encouraged by the fact that God is the one who provides, that he created the heavens and the earth, and everything belongs to him, including ourselves. So the question here is based, if you hear Abraham's story, what if God asked for the one thing you hold most dear? So Abraham, he was waiting for this promise for 30 years. The first time he got the promise of God that he would have a child, he was 70. So if you are 70, watch out. And then he was 99 when he actually was blessed and Sarah conceived. He was 90. If you are 90, watch out. And then they were celebrating that. So that's Genesis 21. So from Genesis 12 to Genesis 21, you know, you have this gap of the promise where God is showing us that his timing is perfect, that sometimes we have to wait for to see him bless us and respond the prayers. But this idea that we have to pray, and when we pray, God will answer fast, is not a biblical idea. Most of the time, God will process us, and then when we position ourselves and the posture of our hearts are in the right place, then he responds. And the fact, again, as I said before, God's goal is not for you and I to be happy, it's for you and I to be holy, and for us to look like Jesus. And if that takes time, it will take time, but he will do it no matter what. So Abraham was not different from us, and that story is like us. It's a story of surrender. And imagine this. You are waiting for this child of the promise, Isaac, and after you finally have your child, God is asking you, now come and sacrifice your child. Give it back to me. In other words, I'm giving it to you, but never mind. Give it back, right? So he has this sense of humor where we are always challenged by what God is asking us to do, but he's always asking us to do things that we don't have the capacity, the power, or the ability to respond. He is God, we are not. So the only way we can answer God is through surrender and say, I don't have the power, I don't know, I don't have the resources, but you know, I'm going to take a leap of faith and obey and follow you. So the challenge here is that most of the time, we usually offer things to God that are easy for us to give or to spare. It's like someone says to you, I need some clothes, can you give me some clothes, please? And then you go to your closet and you find that clothes that you wear in 2010, right? And then you say, hey, here I am, here it is. Take all these gifts, all these clothes that I have from 2010. And then you say, oh, I'm so generous. No, you are not. You was cleaning your closet. That's what you're doing, right? So in other words, this reality that if it doesn't cost us something, then it will not transform us. A true giving, time, talents, or treasure is one where you are transformed as you do that. So the Bible says that it's better to give than to receive, because when you give, you are transformed only if it costs you something, only if you have been in this position where you have to, in this posture, where you have to surrender in order to give God something that really matters. And when you do that, you trust him, and now you are going to experience his faithfulness, his provision, and the true purpose of life, and why God bless us. He doesn't bless us only to bless ourselves and bless our family. He's also blessed us so we can be a channel on earth to bless other people. And when we do that, God will open the heavens and bless us like never before. Now, Abraham was a man of God, and this story is a parallel with the God the Father story. Now, Abraham is saying to you, Abraham, take your son whom you love and give it to me. Now, in the times of Abraham, you need to know that it was a practice of the land to sacrifice their children to Baal, the god of the land, this idol. And they were practicing this. So God was asking Abraham and testing him just to show him that he's a different God. That was the whole purpose from the beginning. That he's not after your children. He's here to bless your children. He's not going to ask you to sacrifice your children. He wants to bless your children. But he's asked the same thing to Abraham. And now Abraham is saying yes. Now, remember that Abraham didn't start as Abraham. He started as Abram, right? In Genesis 12, you're going to see God calling this guy who is nobody, Abram, and he will become somebody, Abraham. And we have this understanding that every time God shows up in your life, it's going to be a change. Something will switch, and you're going to be transformed. So Abraham had this experience with God in chapter 12. He now is the father of faith, but before that, he was just a regular person. And God says to him, you know, walk away from your household and come with me to a land I will show you. Leave behind your household and your family, and I will bless you. The first thing the guy did, he took his nephew, Lot, with him. So disobedience from the get-go, right? And then he took Lot with him. Then in chapter 13, it says that they have an argument. They start fighting about land, and they separate each other. And then in chapter 14, now he's saying, oh, now Abraham have to go and rescue Lot because he got in trouble. Hello? And then in chapter 15, now Abraham is having this revelation with God, and it's the revelation of God's covenant. And now he's saying to Abraham, Abraham, come out, and I will bless you. See the stars? I'm going to bless you. You're going to be a father of nations. Powerful. Say, oh my God, I'm so old. How are you going to do this? I'm going to bless you. The power of the Holy Spirit will do that. And Sarah was there. She was nice. She was already 70, in his 70s. And he said, well, this is impossible. It can happen. But there's nothing impossible for God. Then in chapter 16, you're going to see Abraham and having all this issue, and Sarah doubting God and saying, you know what? I have this servant who is my servant. Sleep with her because God is taking too long. So let me fix this and help God. Have you been trying to help God lately? And he said, sleep with my servant and everything will be fine, and we're going to raise a family through her. But God said, not through Hagar. I'm going to bring a family from you and Sarah. Okay, so Abraham said, yes, I'm going to live with your servant. They have a baby, and the baby was Ishmael, not Isaac. Ishmael, and in the process, you have all this challenge, right? And now God is saying, that's not the child of the promise. You have to keep going. In 17, you have all this fight and all this situation where Hagar and God is revealing himself and showing that he wants to bless Ishmael as he blessed Isaac by making a distinction that Isaac is the son of the promise. Then in 18, you see all these angels showing up and having a conversation with Abraham. And now Abraham in 18 is having this conversation with the angels about Sodom and Gomorrah. But before that, you're going to see something powerful. In 17, you have this covenant of Abraham now with God. Again, God is saying, now come out and let's do the circumcision where you are going to be in covenant with me forever. And when that happens, there is this connection now when now Abraham becomes Abraham. Now Abraham becomes what? Abraham. You know what that means? It means that Abraham without H is one person. In other words, Abraham without the Spirit. Yahweh is right? That's the Spirit of God. So now God is saying, you are not Abraham, you are Abraham. My Spirit is in you. Oh my goodness, remember this? It's powerful, right? And now God is saying, you're no longer Abraham. Now let's go to covenant. Now you are Abraham. And breathe the same way he did with Adam at the beginning. And now he can do this. People cannot do this unless they have the Spirit. Hello? You can only give the best if you have the Spirit. Because this is the Spirit of God. God is a giver. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. God is a giver. So when we come and we see all this generosity, it means that you only are transformed if you give the most, if it costs you something. Now, I see Abraham is saying now, I'm in the mountain, the Lord will provide. In other words, Jehovah Jireh, the revelation of God given to Abraham after he surrendered. Now, how he surrendered? He surrendered this way. God asks you to do something, and most of us, we try to think, rationalize, think, and have a plan of what God is asking. Yes or no? But God is saying, I want you to walk by faith. In other words, he's asking you not to think, not to understand, just to obey. That's the hard part. Why? Because in the obedience, when you don't understand, is faith. Faith goes beyond your capacity and my capacity to understand. If God has to explain you everything, you are not a woman or a man of faith. You are a convinced rebel. In other words, you are rebellious And God has to convince you, and now you act. But God wants you to be what? A man and a woman of faith. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense, but I'm going to take a leap of faith. That's when you start having the revelation of God, and now he's showing you and me step by step his plan. But the doors only open. The door only opens when you take the first step. And then God begins to reveal himself. Now, when he's saying that, he's saying, okay, give me your son. He start walking, go to the mountain, and there God reveals, I have a substitution. I have a solution for this. Hold your hand. Do not kill your son. Why? Imagine that. He's thinking, oh my goodness, I have to do this. I have to do this. I mean, if Abraham is anything like me, I would be doing that, right? It's Monday, and you are Monday. Oh my God, Wednesday, oh my God. And then Friday, you don't have to do it. Have you ever been in a situation where you have been worried, and it's Monday, and by Friday, everything is gone? Or by Wednesday? Yes or no? And then the enemy, because he's under the sun, he is earthly bound, which means he's subject to time, space, and matter. He's subject to you minutes, weeks, days, and hours. God, he's above the earth, outside of creation. He is moving in the kairos. He's not limited by time. In other words, the enemy, in order to get you, in order to make you fall and make me fall, he has to work really hard in the same schedule that you have. Monday, Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. By Friday at 10 a.m., I'm going to get him. I'm going to get her. And so he starts working and preparing stuff and making people talk, creating traps, doing everything. I'm going to fire her Friday, 10 a.m. I'm going to stop that promotion Friday, 10 a.m. And he's working. And then you are here listening to all of this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Oh, my God. And then suddenly, because God is not subject to time, he show up and disrupt the whole thing. Stop it. Oh, my God. So he reversed it. And now he's saying, instead of killing you or demote you, I'm going to promote you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to show that I am Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. I can change time. Wow. And show up. So this is why my simple advice to you is, do not worry about Wednesday when it's Monday. Simple. Because most of the time, when you trust God, he will show up at the last minute only to allow us first to try everything in your agenda. And after you are tired, after you try all your tricks, after you call everybody you're supposed to call, after you trust all the friends that are supposed to rescue you, God is saying, I'm going to wait to show you that only I can deliver you. Wow. And then you waste all the time and all the resources. And then you say, God, if you don't show up, no one will. I will show up because I am your God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the one who show up, who provide in the mountains and in the valleys. I'm your God when you have and when you have not, when you can and when you cannot, when you are happy and when you are sad. I am your God. Wow. So here is, are you going to believe him? Yes or no? Are you going to trust him? Yes or no? But it has to cost you something. Every time you go and you have no time, but you somehow stop everything to go and serve someone, it will cost you something. Or every time you're supposed to be with your family, but now you're not with the family. You are here in a service, in a meeting. It's costing you something. And that's why it's so valuable. That's why you have spiritual warfare constantly. So God is showing us that he's the one asking everything. But everything starts with obedience. And the only thing he's requesting from us is that we have the right posture, saying, here I am. Can you say that with me? Here I am. Say it again. I'm telling you, church, when God asks you something, 99% of the time, you don't have the capacity to respond. You don't have the resources. You don't have the abilities. You don't have anything. The only thing you have is yourself. God is asking that you surrender. He's after your heart, not your wallet. He's after you. And the moment you say, here I am, you're going to experience God like never before. Because now you are, and I am, in the right posture. So when we obey, and obey means I listen and I act. Because I remember, you know, remember, I have a teenager daughter. Say, Sulam, clean the room. I say, I heard you. Yes, I will. And then you go, and it's not done. Is that obedience? No, that's half obedience. She heard me. It's not until she do it that I can say she obeyed. Yes or no? Okay, so that's the obedience. Obedience is listening and acting. So here's what God is saying to us. Listen to me. Listen to the word of God and then go and put it into action. Now, this powerful application is super simple. Number one, start each day saying what? Here I am. Position your heart for obedience. Do not try to understand. Surrender your need to understand. Surrender your need to be seen. Surrender your need to be heard. Surrender your need to be, to be the center of the attention. Surrender everything, and God will bless you. And the moment we do that, we're going to experience obedience in a level that we have never experienced before. You are not the center of the earth. Even sometimes you think you are not. Sometimes I think I am not. There is a story about a little girl came back from a school, and she's saying to her little brother, hey, do you know what I learned today? And the brother said, do you know what I learned today? That the earth is, the sun is going around the earth. And the boy says, really? And the sister said, yes, well, that's new. I thought that it was around me, right? Going around me, not around the earth. So the reality is that we somehow, since we are little, because the attention our parents give us, we start thinking we're the center of the attention. And then you realize really fast, we are not. So what God is saying to us is, Jesus has to be the center. I have to be at the center of the action, everything you do, and I'm going to bless you. So, in other words, go to the second step. Identify your Isaac, the thing you are afraid to place on the altar. Giving becomes worship when we trust him with what matters most. Now, there is a powerful story that reflects this. Again, God has this idea of making someone, making a person who is no one, and that person then becomes someone after he show up. David, he was this guy, no one knew him, and then God show up, and now he became the king of Israel. And after a while, he got so many victories, the kingdom got so powerful, became so powerful, that now he's thinking, I am the king, right? Who is the king? Do you know who is the king? Jesus is the king, right? God is the king. But somehow, if you go to 2 Samuel 24:24, read that at home, okay? He's getting up in the morning and saying, wow, look at my kingdom. Hey, it's not your kingdom, my friend. And that's the way we are. So we are here. We get all these victories, and we were no one. Now we became someone. And somehow, you start feeding yourself the lie that it was because of you. That you are so smart, so gifted, and your wife knows you are not. Even your wife knows that, or your husband knows that, but here we are thinking that we got here by ourselves. When everybody knows that the reason you are here is because so many people that God placed around you to help you get where you are. Yes or no? But here we are acting like we didn't receive this, like we gained this. We fought for it. Now we are who we are because I did it. I was committed. I was disciplined. I have this commitment, this resilience. You don't have anything, my friend. God is the one who has been helping you and helping me. So David forgot that for a second. So he got up in the morning and said, here is my kingdom. And he said, now, let me number my people. Again, read this at home, 2 Samuel 24, 24. Let me number my people. How many people do I have in my kingdom? And the general of the army said, great king, you don't need to do that. You know that our victory comes from God. It's not about numbers. Hello. Our victory comes from God. It's not about numbers. It's about God. What do you need to number your people? I need to number my people. I need to know how many people. And then off he goes. He starts counting people. He came back and say, okay, you have millions of people. Here are the numbers. Here's the report. And David, the moment he heard the report, the Spirit of the Lord struck David in his heart and convicted him of sin. And now he's saying, oh God, I sin against you. Forgive me, Lord. And God says, okay, I'm going to send you a prophet. The prophet God came show up and said, the prophet said to him, David, you sin against God, and here is what God is doing. He's giving you three options. I love God. He's always giving you options. Okay? David, I'm going to give you three options, and you're going to choose. Option number one, he says, option number one, I'm going to give power to your enemy over you, and they will persecute you for 3 years. And David said, oh my God, that's not, I remember when Saul was chasing me, that's not good. Number two, I'm going to send a pestilence to the land, and people will die because of what you did. And I'm going to show you. And number three, sickness. Sickness to you and your household and everybody. You know what David said? David said, I know my God. I know that my God is merciful. So I'm going to ask God, and I'm going to choose the option where God is the judge, not the people. Because I know how people are. He's asking and saying, okay, no, God is merciful. God's loving. So I'd rather be in his hands than in the people's hands. And he said, okay, I choose the pestilence. Look at this. And since the angel of God came with judgment, and people start dying and dying and dying and dying and dying and dying, until David saw the angel of the Lord and says, I need to offer a sacrifice. I need to go back to covenant and present before God a burnt offering. So God is moving David through this, and David says, okay, let me go to this place. It's a farm, and then the farmer has oxen and land. And David visits the farmer and says, hey, I need to build an altar for God in your land, and I need also oxen to offer it as a sacrifice. Do you know what the farmer said? Oh, great king, you don't need to pay me anything. This is your land. Again, pride and feeding your pride, feeding who you are. If you don't know God, you're going to be tested by the people around you. Hello. You are awesome. You know you're not. You are the best. You know you're not. Okay? So do not allow people compliments. You receive them, but be careful. Don't let God go to your head. Hello. Okay, so no, you don't need anything. Oh, great king, don't pay me anything. You know what David says in 2 Samuel 24, 24? He said to the guy, listen, I'm not going to offer my God a sacrifice that costs me nothing. Wow. I am the one making the sacrifice, and it has to cost me. So I want to pay a price for it, and I will not receive it as a gift. It has to cost me something. In other words, the principle is the same principle of Abraham. If it doesn't cost you, it will not transform you. If it doesn't cost you, it will not count. Wow. So, God is asking you to walk with the same obedience. Whatever you're doing, is this costing? Is there a cost behind it? If you're going to serve God, are you only serve God when it doesn't cost you anything, as long as it fits my schedule, I can serve him? It has to cost you something, cost you time, It will cost you energy. It will cost you your gift and graces. It will cost you your finances. It will cost you something. But it has to be, it has to be a cost involved. If there is a cost, there is transformation. Yes or no? If you have a baby, if you go to the hospital with a baby to deliver a baby, there is a cost delivering a baby? Is this a cost? Huh? It's a cost? Now it's beautiful and a big, but it, this cost you? And if the nurse says, don't scream, oh my God, don't what? Shut up! You don't care, right? There is a cost. It's beautiful, but there is a cost. Everything that is beautiful, everything that is awesome, everything that brings joy, there is a cost to it. Freedom has a cost, yes or no? There is a cost for everything. So we are in this generation where we don't want to pay the price for anything. It doesn't work like this. We have to pay a price. We have to believe God. So here it is. Expect provision on the path of obedience. So if you are obeying God, trust God. If you are obeying God, trust God. I remember, so now we just gave the report to the covenant partners where we are only behind $13,000. Imagine that, to the point. And then, if you put the income from the preschool, which is 15,000, I'm from Cuba, but if you put 15 toward 13, you have $2,000 in the green. Yes or no, David? Okay. Wow. This is a miracle. This is a miracle. We have been praying, God, reverse this operational cost, reverse. 400, 200,000, 300,000. All the predictions was like we will be tapping into our phones and depleting our phones. We are not. The funds are there. There is actually like $1 million in the funds or something like that. Okay. The money is there. Or somehow, ask him, talk to him if you don't like it. Somehow, don't ask me how, but somehow, God has been providing everything. And we have not gone into the savings and all the stuff, the investment and all the stuff. That you need to know, please know this. I'm from Cuba. When you say to me that you have $100,000 in your account, you are rich. So I need to really pray to let your anxiety come to me, because when I see $100,000, I'm rich. Okay? But then the reality is when I see the income and the expenses, I say, oh my goodness, wait a minute, time out. God, show up. And he did it. And that's why we're declaring he's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. And he will continue doing that because he's still the head of the church. And because he's the head of the church, he's going to take care of the bride, yes or no? And he's going to honor the bride. And I don't know. Some of the covenant partners, I'm having a meeting with a couple, and I asked them. I said, "Do you love your bride?" He said, "Yes." Will you protect your bride?" He said, "Yes." "If anything, if she needs anything, will you do it for your wife?" He said, "Yes." So, well, Christ is doing the same. He's better than us. So what I do, if you don't know, is I go get up in the morning, really early in the morning, I pray, "God, it's not my bride. My bride's name is Sulaine. Not the church. This is your bride. Take care of your bride." And he is faithful. He always will. And he said, "The kingdom of darkness will not prevail against the church." Do you believe that? Let's pray together. Loving God, we ask you that you show us the provision that you have for us. Same you did with Abraham. Knowing that when we live as a living sacrifice, we become vessels of your provision and agents of your mission. We know This is not about money. This is not about giving. It's about us having the right posture, a posture of humility, of surrender. Call us to give with the passion and the conviction that you are God. This is never about money. It's about heart, about trust, and about you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Bless us with your presence. In the powerful name of